Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel from John chapter 14? Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Once again, this morning, we've included some teaching notes in your bulletin, and I would invite you to take those out and to follow along as we go through the message together today. And today, we're continuing this series of sermons on Case for Christ. The Case for Christ movie shows the spiritual journey of this young atheist and investigative reporter named Lee Strobel, who sets out to disprove Christianity and, in his way of thinking, to rescue his wife, Leslie, from her newfound faith. Lee's quest didn't end the way he expected. All the evidence that he found kept leading him back to Jesus. And he had this life-changing encounter that reoriented his life from that point on. At the end of the movie, Lee and his wife Leslie get down on their knees in the living room by the coffee table. And it is there that Lee comes home to the Lord Jesus. And today, as we think about his journey, I would invite you to think about your own. And I want to ask you, have you come home to the Lord Jesus? You know, if I were to ask you, where is home for you? You might give me several different answers. Some of you might talk about your hometown and tell stories about the place where you grew up or the places where you grew up. And others, perhaps, would talk about where you live now as being home for you. But we all know that home is more than just a place. Someone has written this, and I really appreciate it. Having someone to love is family. Having somewhere to go is home. Having both is a blessing. If you have someone to love, if you have somewhere to go, you are truly blessed. We want the church to be home to us. A place where there are people who love us like family. A place where we can go and find acceptance and belonging. You know, I never appreciated my home so much as I did the first time when I went away to church camp. I was 11 years old. And over the years, I've had just so many wonderful experiences at church camp, but my first experience was not one of them. It was pouring down rain when my parents dropped a friend and me off at Green Hills. And it was pouring down rain that following Saturday when his parents came to pick us up, and there wasn't much sunshine in between. How many of you have ever been to Green Hills? You know, it's a really beautiful place when the sun is shining. And our young counselor really tried. But what do you do with a bunch of 11-year-olds when it rains all the time? We sloshed along muddy paths to the dining hall and the bathhouse. We could only go swimming once the entire week. It was difficult to have campfires because of the rain. So most of the week, we were either in the big barn at Green Hills with our activities or crowded into this big canvas hogan that was elevated on a 3-foot platform. And I still remember how at night, lying in my sleeping bag on a rickety old bed, breathing in the smell of everybody's wet clothes, listening to the rain on the canvas above me and the thunder sometimes rolling through the mountains, I really, really missed home. I fell asleep thinking, I just want to go home. And I woke up thinking, how many more days till I can go home? Home, where I could sleep in my own bed, dry and safe and warm. Home, where I could enjoy my mom's cooking. Home, where I could feel the love and acceptance of my family and my friends. Do you know how many people in this world long for home? The United Nations estimates that 65 million people in this world have been forced from their homes by famine, by terrorism, by war, by persecution. And in recent weeks, we've watched the news coverage as millions more have been driven from home by hurricanes and floods and earthquakes and mudslides and wildfires. We support the United Methodist Committee on Relief and Mission Central and many other ministries because we believe that the Lord Jesus calls us to provide food and clean water and safe shelter and medical care for all of our displaced neighbors who yearn for home. God wants all of His children to have a place to go and people to love. Now here's the thing, and this is what Lee Strobel discovered in his journey. You can have a beautiful home, and you can have a loving family, and still not be truly at home. Have you ever been lying on your pillow at night and you thought, I must be made for something more than this? If I can just get more of this or more of that, then I'll be truly happy. I don't know what it might be for you. Maybe you have some money, but you're thinking, if I could just get more of it, I would be truly happy. Or maybe you have a job, but you're thinking, if I can just get that other job, then I will be fulfilled. Some are unhappy in the marriage they're in, or the family they're in, or the house they live in, or the church they go to. And they're saying, if I could just get that one, then I would really be happy. But the truth is that simply having more of this or more of that will never satisfy you, because none of us will ever be truly at home until we find our home in that place where Lee and Leslie Strobel found a home, and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the early church father Augustine said way back in the 4th century is just as true today in the 21st century. Augustine said this prayer, Thou hast made us for Thyself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in Thee. Back in the 20th century, the great Christian writer C.S. Lewis said it this way. If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. Made for another world. You know, this world is filled with so many gifts from God. And I believe that God wants us to enjoy the good gifts that God gives us in this world. But this world is not really our home. Our true home, as it says in number 2 in your notes, is found in a person, and it's found in a place. That's what Jesus is talking about here in the 14th chapter of John. Look with me at the first 3 verses of this passage again. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus is talking about a person, and he's also talking about a place. Our true home, he says, is found, first of all, in a person. Just a few hours after he says these things to his disciples, Jesus will be arrested and put on trial. He will soon be scourged and mocked and die a most horrible death. Soon, the whole world for his disciples will just come crumbling down around them. And Jesus says to prepare them, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Now that word in is more than just a preposition to connect the word God or the word Jesus with what comes after it. That word in describes a relationship. In John 15, Jesus says, if I abide in you and you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything becomes new. So what Jesus is telling his disciples here is that if you live apart from Christ, you will always be troubled. But if you are in Christ, you will find a true home. Jesus also says that our true home is a place. You know, heaven is not just a state of mind, it's a real place. It's a big, big house, as Jesus describes it, with lots and lots of rooms. There's room for you, there's room for me, and there's room for everybody in this community. There's room for all who trust in him. You know, that Greek word translated here as house means literally an abiding place. And Jesus is saying, I am preparing a place for you where you will abide with the everlasting God forever. Now that promise of heaven should fill us with hope as we live in this world. Wherever you go in this life, heaven ought to go with you. Home goes with you into that strange place. Light goes with you into that dark place. Love goes with you into that lonely place. Peace goes with you into that troubled place. Joy goes with you into that sad place. Healing goes with you into that broken place. Your true home is found when you know Jesus and when you live in the light of the future that He promises to you. Now that all sounds well and good, just as it did to the disciples long ago, but we recognize that we're not in heaven yet, and we live in a broken world. And it's only natural for us, like Lee Strobel, to have some questions and to have some doubts, which perhaps you might still have today. But we should pay attention to the questions we have and the doubts that we experience, because they might actually be nudges from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is forever nudging us so that we might find a home in Jesus. It's interesting as we read on in this passage that Thomas shows up. When Jesus says, "And you know the way to the place where I am going," Thomas says, "Lord, we don't know what you're talking about. Can you show us the way?" Now, how would you like to be Thomas? I mean, Thomas is remembered for all eternity as the doubting Thomas. And Thomas only speaks about three times in the Gospels, and every time he's asking a question or expressing a doubt. But Thomas is in this story for a very important reason. He's there because this story shows us that God welcomes the questions and the doubts and the skepticism. Jesus is speaking directly into Thomas's uncertainty when he says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus says, first of all, "I am the way." And what that means is that Jesus is the bridge between us and God. You won't notice there in your notes that there is a place where you see "you" in big letters and "God" in big letters. And that's supposed to illustrate that there is a grand canyon between a sinful humanity and a holy God. And we, on our own, are not able to reach across that canyon. But the good news is that Jesus made a way for us. Jesus is, as a contemporary Christian song says, He's the way maker, opening up possibilities for us that we could not make possible for ourselves. And if you look at the next slide, you see how Jesus made the way. It was through the cross. And it is through the cross that we can walk across the way, the bridge that brings us home with God. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 5 that God proves His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that changes everything. And then Jesus says to Thomas and the rest that He is also the truth. And when Jesus says, "I am the truth," what He's saying is, under number 5, that Jesus is the visual aid of who God is. If you want to know what God sounds like, listen to Jesus. If you want to know what God acts like, look at Jesus. If you want to know what God is passionate about, Look at Jesus. Many people don't enter a relationship with God because they have a misunderstanding of who God is. I mean, if you look at God as a tyrannical judge, then you'll avoid God in every way that you can. If you look at God as a casual friend, then you'll never take seriously the sin that separates you from God. But Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 31, if you continue in my word and you are truly my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's knowing Jesus that sets you free, because Jesus is the truth. And he will later say, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father also. Jesus is the bridge between us and God. Jesus is the visual aid that shows us what God is like. And Jesus is the life. Now, there are several other adjectives that you might fill in here on your teaching notes. You might say, Jesus is real life. Or you might write in, Jesus is abundant life. Or perhaps you could write, Jesus is eternal life. Jesus says, I am the life. If Jesus is the life, then without Jesus, we're dead. You can accumulate stuff. You can get a bigger place. You can find a special someone. You can advance in your career, but ultimately, you're going to still be laying your head on the pillow at night and saying, I feel like I was born for something more than this. Because there's no life. There is no life apart from Jesus. Everything else is just a cheap imitation. In John 15, Jesus offers these powerful words, and I'd like if we could just read these words together and take them with us into the week ahead. 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. As we close this service today, I invite you to see the choice that Jesus puts before us in this verse, and the choice that all of us have to make. And the choice is this: abide in Jesus and bear much fruit, or be apart from Jesus and do nothing. So I want to ask you, where is home? Where is home for you? My prayer is that every one of us here will find our heart's true home in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way and the truth and the life. Wherever you go, whatever you face, when your home is in Jesus, the light of heaven will shine upon your way. As we sing this closing hymn today, this great hymn of invitation, I trust that where you are, you will open your heart to the one who wants to welcome you.